When one reads the Gospel of Luke, passionately penned by Luke, the physician and companion of Paul, it doesn't take long to recognize Luke's intentional and undeniable emphasis on Jesus' care and concern for outcasts and sinners. Take Zacchaeus, the tax collector, for example. The story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Now, you won't find the story of Zacchaeus in any of the other Gospels. Perhaps this is because Zacchaeus was an outcast and a sinner whose crookedness, if you will, as a deceitful chief tax collector, caused him to be highly disliked. But despite Zacchaeus' reputation, Luke decides to tell his story and lets us know that one day as Jesus was passing through Jericho, he saw Zacchaeus sitting in a sycamore tree, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must stay in your house today." Not only, friends, does Luke intentionally emphasize Jesus' care and concern for outcasts and sinners, but Luke intentionally emphasizes Jesus' care and concern for women. This is monumental because during the time of Jesus, women were on the bottom rung of the social order. Apart from their role as ritual mourners at funerals, Jewish women took really no part in public life. Schools were for boys only, and women sat apart from men in synagogues. Men didn't even speak to women in the streets. Yet over and over throughout Luke's gospel, we find story after story of women whose lives were forever changed by a man named Jesus who deeply and sincerely cared about them. The bent over woman, remember her? The bent over woman in Luke chapter 13, she's one. She had suffered for 18 long years, but one Sabbath day as he was teaching in one of the synagogues, Jesus put his proclamation on pause. He called the suffering woman to him and said to her, as recorded in Luke chapter 13, verse 12, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And after Jesus laid his hands on her, Luke lets us know that following 18 long years of suffering, the bent over woman immediately straightened up and began to praise God. And then, friends, in the seventh chapter of Luke's gospel, our text for today, we find the story of another woman. Mary, Martha, Sue, or Jane, Luke doesn't bother to mention her name. He simply refers to her in this text as the widow of Nain. May I paint the picture for you? We've read the scripture, but let me paint it for you. On that day, Jesus and his disciples came upon the city of Nain, a small Galilean farming town, a bit off of the beaten path and not too far from Nazareth. As Jesus and the disciples approached the city gate, they saw a funeral procession already in progress. No doubt the procession was on its way to a place of burial outside the city. And while we don't know his cause of death, what we do know is that a young man had died prematurely. He should have still been alive. He should have still been with his mother, but he wasn't, and his grieving mother was distraught. The homegoing service, if you will, had already taken place. The final viewing of the body was complete. His open coffin was placed on a bier, or a litter, if you will, and the large crowd of mourners, can you see them? The large crowd of mourners were headed to the cemetery. Following the procession was this young man's disheartened mother. She'd already lost her husband. And now her only son was gone. Her past, her present, and her future lay there motionlessly in a cold coffin, and as much as she wanted to, there was not one thing she could do about it. Who would take care of her now? Husbands took care of their wives back then, and if by chance a woman's husband died, it was the responsibility of the oldest son to take care of his mother. So this woman had no one left. Talking about a hopeless case, she had already lost her husband. Now her only son was gone. Have you ever experienced back-to-back loss? That's what she had. Back-to-back loss. First her husband, now her son. Her options were few, her future was uncertain, and her heart was brutally broken. Friends, we can take 20 Advil, 15 aspirin, 10 Tylenol, whatever medication, but there is nothing that can heal. No medication can heal a broken heart. It has been said that a broken heart is like having broken ribs. Nobody can see it, but the pain is unbearable every time you breathe. Is there anybody who knows what it feels like to have a broken heart? This woman, in this text, this woman, her heart had been brutally broken. Not once, that would have been enough, husband, but twice, husband and son. And in Nain on that day, I can imagine that she could hardly see her way because of the salty tears that filled her eyes. And as a result, she may not have seen him, but thanks be to God, he saw her. The Bible says in verse 13 that Jesus saw her, and when he saw her, he did not turn his head. Instead, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Out of all the people gathered on that day, Jesus saw her. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me because it lets me know that while God has a world full of people to look after, our omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God is still personal enough to see me and to see you. The struggles, God sees you. The pain, God sees you. The ups and downs, God sees you. Disappointments, heartache, frustration, issues, broken heart, highs, lows, God sees you. That's a personal God. Out of everybody in the world right now, God sees you. And I have some good news for you this morning. Not only does God see you, but God has compassion for you and your situation. And whatever is going on in your life, God has compassion for you. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 lets us know that God's compassions never fail. Oh, that's good news. God's compassions never fail. Oh no, they are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. One hymn writer, for those of you who may love hymns, one hymn writer said it like this: "Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee, for thou changest not." Watch this. "Thou compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been. Thou forever," did you catch that? "Forever will be." Isn't it good to know that God, the God we serve, is a faithful and compassionate God? God's compassion never runs out. God's compassion never ceases. Every day, God keeps on sending compassion our way. And as the psalmist rightly says in Psalm 145, verse 8, as Pastor Robert read, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy." So as people of faith, how do we respond to God's compassion? We respond to it just as you are doing here at Good Shepherd. I just come to encourage you in what you're already doing. How do we respond to God's compassion for us? We respond by bestowing compassion on others as we have the opportunity to do so. And it's not always easy. It's a sacrifice, but that's how we respond. How shall we respond to God's compassion towards us? We do so by having sympathetic concern for the misfortunes of others. For that's what compassion is. Compassion is having sincere and sympathetic concern for others. Compassion means, watch this, someone else's heartbreak becomes our heartbreak. That someone else's suffering becomes our suffering, even when it doesn't have to be. That we choose this. And so when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. He didn't have to have compassion on her, but he did. His heart went out to her. And in that moment, watch this, her heartbreak became his heartbreak. In that moment, her suffering became his suffering. Her pain became his pain. Perhaps his heart was filled with compassion because he knew that the large crowd of professional mourners who had gathered on that day, he knew they would soon dwindle and she would have nobody there by her side. Is there anyone here who knows that it is not wise to count on the crowd? Because in this cancel culture era in which we live, the truth is that the crowd will love us one day and leave us the next. The truth is the crowd will support one day and sabotage the next. Although there were a crowd of professional mourners around her on that day, Jesus knew this heartbroken woman couldn't count on the crowd. He knew they would go back to their lives. They would move on. They would go on. We know how that goes. People move on. But that's perhaps why. Maybe, just maybe, that's why he stepped in. May I ask you a question this morning? This is interactive, by the way. May I ask you a question this morning? Has God ever stepped into your situation? Is it okay to... Have you ever been in a tight spot and God stepped in? Have you ever been in some type of trouble and God stepped in? Have you ever been confused? God stepped in. Have you ever faced a dilemma and God stepped in? Have you ever needed help and the help you needed couldn't come from anybody else on earth? It had to come from God. Has God ever stepped in to something in your life? If it's okay, Pastor Robert, can we just clap again? That's good news. On that day and name, Jesus, the incarnate one, the second person of the Trinity, fully human yet fully divine, on that day and name, Jesus stepped in. He went out of his way to step into a sad and sobering situation. On that day and name, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, stepped in, not because he had to, but because he wanted to, and he did so with a heart full of compassion. Now, I know he's not a theologian, but the late great musical icon, Prince, said this: compassion is an action word with no boundaries. In other words, having compassion is one thing, but putting it into action is another. As people of faith, our compassion must be accompanied by action. And Good Shepherd, thank you for being a congregation whose compassion is marked by your action. All that you do and all that you're going to do, that's what God requires of us, to show to others in our neighborhood, in our community, wherever we have the opportunity, in any area of influence. Isn't it good to know that we can show compassion and make a difference in the lives of others, even in a mean and sometimes evil and hateful world? We have a chance, each of us individually, we have a chance through our compassion to make a difference in someone else's life. That's what Jesus did, friends. Jesus greeted the woman in our text with the words, "Do not weep." Because when he saw her, he put that compassion into action. May I challenge you? What about this week? I know you're compassionate, but what about this week, making an intentional effort to show even more compassion through a kind word? Maybe it's a phone call to somebody just to say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. I don't want anything. I just want you to know I appreciate you." Maybe it's a random act of kindness that you do. What a great opportunity. I challenge you, take this week and think of one way you might be even more compassionate to show and share the love of Christ. Because it's not always what we say. People can see the love of Christ in us in what we do. I'm closing now, but I want you to see it. Jesus walks up to that coffin. He walks up to it. This young man who's died prematurely, he's dead. He's gone. His mother thinks she's about to bury her son. She's distraught. She's heartbroken. She doesn't know what to do. But Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And immediately, the young man sat up and started talking. I don't know what he said. Maybe he said, "Hallelujah." Maybe he said, "Praise the Lord." Maybe he said, "Thank you, Jesus." We don't know what he said, but what Luke does let us know is that after Jesus compassionately raised this young man from his premature death, praise broke out. And isn't that our response to the goodness of God? Praise In that, our response to the gracious goodness of our God, praise broke out. I want you to see this. Now, you got to see this. They're crying at one minute. Everybody's sad. The professional mourners, Pastor Robert, are doing what they've been, if you will, paid to do. And then Jesus steps in. He raises this young man from the dead. The young man gets up. He starts talking. They're probably afraid, most of them. In fact, the Bible says they are terrified. But once they have gotten through that, praise breaks out. And they glorify God. Sorrow disappeared and praise broke out. Suffering dissipated and praise broke out. Sadness departed and praise broke out. All because Jesus stepped in. And that same Jesus who stepped in back then, the good news for us is that in 2021, still stepping in. Amen. Amen. So I came to remind you this morning that God is always with us. God's word is with us. God's promises are with us. God's compassion is with us. And with that same compassion that we're shown, we show it to others. Can't you see that mother's face light up? Can't you see her tears dry up? Can't you see her head lift up? Can't you see her shoulders straighten up? All because Jesus took time out of his busy schedule. Anybody know anything about busy schedules? But Jesus gives us a model. He takes time out of his busy schedule. Could have been doing something else, but he took time out of his busy schedule to put his compassion into action. And so too, friends, as I close, as followers of Christ, may our compassion lead to actions. May good shepherd's compassion lead to actions that make a difference in the lives of others who simply need someone to stop and care. For in so doing, love will be exemplified, joy will be multiplied, hope will be intensified, faith will be fortified, pain will be minimized, Christ will be personified, and most of all, God will be glorified. In the name of the triune God, Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. Amen and amen. Amen.